This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, August 4th, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster. Tonight was AEW's homecoming show. They were back at Daly's Place in Jacksonville. Only 2,500 in attendance, so they did not pack the place in. I guess a lot of people in Jacksonville must be burned out, right? How many Dynamites did they get in that building over the course of the past year? So it looks like some of the Jacksonville folks may have been burned out, but this show was definitely lacking the same energy that it's had over the last few weeks. This was not as fun as the last 2 weeks. It wasn't a bad show. It just felt like a relatively uneventful show, really, up until the very end, where they shot a big angle coming out of the Cody Rhodes Malakai Black match. This was Malakai Black's in-ring debut in an AEW ring, and he did exactly what he needed to do. He went in there and he made short work of Cody Rhodes in the main event. He beat him in less than 5 minutes. It did not even take him a full 5 minutes to beat one of the biggest names in the entire company. They put this guy over big time. And then Cody begins cutting what sounded like a retirement speech. Remember what I told you a few weeks ago. He's going away for a while to film Go Big Show Season 2. So he was going to be disappearing anyway. I don't buy for a second that he's actually retiring. But then it became clear what they were doing. They were shooting an angle. He's taking his boots off. And then Malakai Black comes back to the ring. He hits him from behind with a crutch. And the big question going off the air, did Malakai Black just retire Cody Rhodes? So it played out exactly the way that I thought it would, which is that with Cody going away, you have a great opportunity to put this guy over as a megastar. And that's what they did. Take advantage of the fact that Cody is not going to be on television for at least several weeks, if not the better part of the next month, and let Malakai Black benefit from it. He just put down one of the top stars in the entire company. So that I liked. And that was the most eventful thing, honestly, that happened on the entire show. I like what they did with Miro. Miro has really hit his stride over the last several weeks since winning the TNT Championship. I thought he and Lee Johnson had a very good match. But on the whole, this show just wasn't as fun. One story that broke earlier today, courtesy of Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp on Fightful Select had the news that Ruby Riott is going to be joining AEW very soon. She's waiting for her WWE non-compete to expire, which is said to be right before the All Out pay-per-view, so probably about a month or so. She's going to be free and clear of WWE, and it looks like she's on her way under her new name of Ruby Soho, which is a name that she took after a Rancid song. Looks like she is on her way into AEW. She also previously trademarked, last month, trademarked the name The Runaway. Well, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of runaways from WWE heading over to AEW. But I thought this was great news. I mean, she is going to be a fine addition to that AEW women's division. She is someone who, before she got hurt, I mean, she was already hurt. You know, if you remember, she had double shoulder surgery. She had one shoulder surgery after another. I don't remember if it was a torn labrum or exactly what it was. She was wrestling on it for about a decade, didn't even know it, and finally had it diagnosed, and the doctor said, yeah, I don't know how you did it, but you've been wrestling like this for all these years, but you need to get it fixed. And she was gone for the better part of a year, and it really stifle the momentum that she was building, because she was going out there on WWE television and having really good matches. And ever since she came back from that whole injury period, she really was never the same. And then, of course, WWE let her go a couple of months ago. She's a very good worker. She is going to be, I think, a very credible, very good quality addition to that women's division. You know, we've been talking about a lot of names in recent weeks. We've been talking about CM Punk. We've been talking about Bryan Danielson. We've been talking about Malakai Black, who just made his in-ring debut tonight, right? We've seen a lot of men from WWE make their debut, and perhaps more to come, right? We don't know where Bray Wyatt is going to land, and who knows what the future may hold for him. But it's nice to hear about them locking down someone like Thunder Rosa, who is now officially full-time under AEW contract. And now I think Ruby Soho, I think, would be a fine addition to their women's division. So I thought that was good news. That's a good get for AEW. Now let's talk a little bit here about this Max Caster controversy, because I've gotten a lot of questions. I haven't commented on this on Twitter. And I know I'm going to talk probably more about it on Sunday as well. But it is AEW related. I figured I would talk about it now. This week was the 100th episode of AEW Dark. And the Acclaimed tagged with Matt Hardy and The Blade to defeat the Varsity Blondes and the Sydal Brothers. And during their entrance, Max Caster, who of course raps on his way to the ring for the Acclaimed, Max Caster rapped about a few things on his way to the ring this week. And I'm going to read you, I'm going to recite for you the entire rap, which has since been removed by AEW from their episode of Dark this week on YouTube. This is the rap that caused all of this controversy this week and caused Tony Khan to go on Busted Open Radio earlier and talk about this as well. He said, "The Acclaimed kicking ass for miles, make you claim mental health like Simone Biles. The Sydal's gonna pay the cost, I'ma treat those bitches like Duke Lacrosse. The Blondes say they're the best, but those dudes are faker than a PCR test. And what's that smell here in North Carolina? Oh wait, that's Julia's." And then Anthony Bowens pulled the microphone out of his hand before he could say the part of Julia Hart's anatomy, because Julia Hart was at ringside with the Varsity Blondes. Now, it has since been edited out of this week's Dark episode. Like I said, Tony Khan appeared, as he does every Wednesday, on Busted Open Radio on Sirius earlier this morning. He was very upset that the rap made it to air. He was very upset. He was very embarrassed. He said that he had not heard it until it aired. Realistically, he probably didn't hear it until it became controversial. Then he went back and he watched it and he heard it. But he claims, you know, even though you see him sitting in the gorilla position every week on Dynamite, typically during Dark and Elevation, he's not there. He claimed that he was in the back when Caster came out and did this rap during their entrance. He called it terrible. He said that it should have been caught in the editing process and that going forward, he would personally be taking over the editing for Dark and for Elevation, and doing so to make sure that something like this never happens again. He says, "I put such tight controls on Dynamite. This would never have happened there because Max's raps, I've always gone over them with him. And frankly, every segment on Dynamite, I don't script or write wrestlers' promos, but the bullet points I give. In this case, it should not have happened. What will happen going forward is I will be taking over the editing of Dark and Elevation myself. I was already editing Dynamite and Rampage, and I do a lot, and now I will also be editing Dark and Elevation. It's unfortunate that it came to that." He does not sound very happy, is what I get from those last couple of lines there. He does not sound very happy that with everything this guy's already got on his plate, not even wrestling-wise, right? Because he owns a fucking football team, right? And Fulham, like, he's got a lot of responsibilities. The guy's a friggin', you know, he comes from a family of billionaires, right? His father's a billionaire. And now he's got to, on top of everything else, he's got to worry about editing the two fucking YouTube shows. I'd be pretty annoyed too if I were him. I'm sure he's not very happy about it. Can you imagine Vince McMahon having to go ahead and fucking edit Main Event? Like the Hulu version of Main Event or something? So yes, I'm sure Tony Khan is not very happy about that. And look, I like the fact that AEW gives its talent the creative freedom when it comes to their promos, and Tony Khan gives bullet points. I think that's the way to do it, right? You give them bullet points, you let them know, okay, here's the point that we want to get across. You guys go and make it your own, right? You have a general sense of what you can and cannot do, although people curse every week and drop the S word on the show and then, you know, bitch and shit and all kinds of stuff. But you set certain parameters and you know in advance, okay, here's what the general kind of picture is that I want you to paint. Now go ahead and make it your own. That's the sort of creative freedom that is a good thing. And it makes for better promos as opposed to scripted promos. And I don't want to see AEW abandon that, because that is one of the things that separates them in a lot of ways from WWE that I like. So I don't want to see something like this ruin that for everybody else. Because that's one of the things about AEW, I think, that actually makes their promo work a lot stronger. But I agree. You know, these things, they do need to be monitored. They do need to kind of be caught in the editing process before they make it to air if it bothers them that much. By the way, I have a question about all this. Because Dark this week was taped 6 days earlier. Actually, was it five? 5 or 6 days earlier. I guess Elevation's on Monday, Dark is on Tuesday. In North Carolina, the week before. If this was such a controversial, egregious thing, and Tony Khan was not there, he was in the back, he didn't hear it, he wasn't aware of it, but it was so bad, it was so awful, did nobody else think to say something and go, hey, you might want to take a listen to this promo? Or, hey, you might want to do an editing job on this thing? Apparently nobody said a word. 5 or 6 days went by, and somebody had to edit the show. And it made it to air. And Tony Khan, again, he sounded really embarrassed by this whole fiasco. Nobody thought to say anything. I find that very strange. But I will say this, because people have asked me, you know, what do I think about the whole thing and where do I fall on the whole? Did he go too far? Did he not go too far? There was some controversy after Charlotte Flair's promo on Raw this week. Because she, too, was scripted to have a line about Simone Biles, who was the Olympian who pulled out of one of her, you know, one of the nights of the Tokyo Games. I don't remember if it was a week ago, week and a half ago, however long ago it was. And it was a whole big story, and people attacked her because they're fucking idiots. But anyway, so someone scripted a line for Charlotte Flair. This is not a line that Charlotte Flair came up with on her own. So she went out there and she cut a promo and she name-dropped Simone Biles and the fact that she had to pull out because of mental health issues. And I saw people, maybe not to this degree, but I saw people get upset about that too. It was kind of its own little mini controversy earlier this week. Oh my God, Charlotte mentioned Simone, how dare she? That's so in poor taste that she would mention Simone Biles. There was nothing wrong at all with the promo that Charlotte Flair cut on Monday night. Nothing. She didn't make fun of her. It was a timely thing to mention, and she was tying it into her own, because she's a fucking heel. She, too, feels the pressure of everything that's going on, and she talked about how three times she's had Money in the Bank people cash in on her for the championship. She didn't make fun of her. She didn't mock her. So even that, I had no issue with that, because she didn't do anything wrong. It was people getting bent out of shape for no reason. As far as Max Caster is concerned, he was cracking a joke. But I think what really got him in hot water wasn't even the Simone Biles thing. I think really what got him in hot water was the Duke Lacrosse line. And for those who don't know, it's an old story about three Duke Lacrosse players who were falsely accused of rape many years ago. Any kind of rape joke is dumb. You know, Big Show made one on SmackDown during a battle rap with John Cena many years ago. Remember the Kobe Bryant line? Because Kobe Bryant was accused of raping a woman many years ago in, I think, a Colorado hotel room, and Big Show is doing this battle rap. And even he made a crack about it. You can find examples of rape jokes on wrestling television over the years, and there's no need for it. It was a dumb thing for him to say, but it was even dumber because Sammy Guevara got in so much hot water for an old joke that he made, a rape joke about Sasha Banks that surfaced. Somebody was just, you know, digging up old stuff. And it became this whole controversy. He had to go to, I think they suspended him. He had to go to sensitivity training. He almost lost his job. Tony Khan was considering firing Sammy Guevara, one of the hottest young stars in the entire company, because it was a stupid thing for him to say, but you can understand from Tony Khan, his point of view, he's the owner of the company, it makes him look bad. Right? He feels like it's reflecting poorly on him, and he felt like he had to take some kind of action. So you know that this sort of thing has happened before. It was a dumb thing for Max Caster to even say in the first place. It was a stupid line to put in there. The rest of his rap, I had no issue with it. There was nothing wrong with it. I had no issue with it. I wasn't offended by it. I can understand why Tony Khan would be, because he thinks it makes his company look low rent, but I had no issue with it. He was a heel trying to push boundaries. I mean, you could call it cheap heat. And there are some lines that you just don't cross. I would say that rape jokes would be one of those lines. There's no need to. There's no need to. But outside of the Duke stuff, there was absolutely nothing wrong with what he said. There was nothing that he said that made me think he should be punished, he should be reprimanded, he should be fired. Give me a break. Seriously. It's ridiculous to even suggest. So those are my thoughts on the whole Max Caster situation. He'll be fine. I'm sure he's learned a lesson here, and I'm sure Tony Khan is not happy that his workload just increased. But beyond that one line, again, I saw nothing wrong with what Max Caster said. So let's talk about Dynamite now. Now that we have all that out of the way, we talk about Dynamite Homecoming. They open with Chris Jericho's third labor, one-on-one against Juventud Guerrera, one of his old adversaries from WCW, back on TNT here with Tony Schiavone on commentary. What's old is new again. So Jericho had to win with a move off the top rope. Hoovy looks slower. I mean, as you would expect, the man is 46 years old. Not everybody is a freak of nature and a freak athlete like Rey Mysterio is. Rey Mysterio is probably every bit as old as Juventud is. And he's still flying around that ring like it was 20 years ago. So Hoovy slowed down a little bit. Other parts of the match, I thought he looked good. Jericho, not so much. I didn't think Jericho looked good in this match. Especially early on, these two were clearly not on the same page. Jericho hit a crossbody off the top early for a near fall, and then hit a double axe handle later on off the top rope for another near fall. Jericho tried ripping the mask off. He was tearing away at it. Hoovy went for a top rope Rana, which Jericho, a little sloppily, turned into the walls of Jericho as he kind of, not fell, but came down off the ropes and almost dropped Hoovy on his head. But he put him in the walls of Jericho for a close near fall, since technically that would count as a move off the top rope. Hoovy came off the ropes, and Jericho caught him with the Judas effect, but Aubrey Edwards said, no, you've got to hit a move off the top rope. This doesn't count. I can't count the three. So Jericho went up top, and he hit a top rope Judas effect for the three count. Wardlow came out, he attacked Jericho from behind and gave Juventud the F10, laid out Jericho with what he calls his casualty of war, which is basically a knee to the face. MJF was sitting in on commentary, he got up and he announced that Wardlow would be Jericho's fourth labor, the fourth labor that Jericho is going to have to endure next week, the final one, if he is to get the match with MJF, presumably at All Out. And MJF said that he would be at ringside for that match. But Jim Ross heard something entirely different. Jim Ross heard that MJF was going to be the special referee, which is not what he said. I don't know where he got that from. Maybe it was in his notes. Maybe it's not his fault. Maybe it was a miscommunication from somewhere else. That is not what MJF said. But I thought, okay, well, I guess he's going to be the referee for the match. He is not. He will be at ringside for the match. He will not be the referee for the match. I didn't think this was all that good. And it had less to do with Hoovy and more to do with Jericho. Honestly, I don't think it was a case of Jericho just selling the beating from last week. I think he just had a tough time keeping up with Hoovy. He did not look very good. He looked like he was moving around in there like a sloth. And so I didn't think this was all that good. We had Dasha in the back with the Lucha Bros. And Alex Abrahantes. Pac was not there. Chavo showed up with Andrade. And the implication here was that Pac's travel was canceled. Magically, his travel got canceled. I wonder how that happened. And again, they refused to join with Andrade. They're trying to recruit Pentagon and Phoenix, and they will not accept the offer. So they once again refused to link up with Chavo and Andrade. Back from break, Tony Schiavone was in the back with the Dark Order. Tony Schiavone was earning overtime tonight, every interview. Right? He's on commentary. He was in the back interviewing the Dark Order. Then he was interviewing Britt Baker. Then he was interviewing Adam Page. Then he got in the ring with Cody at the end of the show. And I probably missed one or two other promos that he was doing. I mean, this guy is, he's earning his paycheck. I'm sure he gets paid well. He's earning his keep. So Tony is in the back with the Dark Order, and Hangman Page shows up and he apologizes to them for letting them down last week in the big 10-man tag against the Elite. He says, I can't keep relying on you guys to help me. I've got to do this alone. And for now, I think it would just be best if we weren't together anymore. This was the breakup of Hangman Page and the Dark Order. And I say, good. Good. I've been waiting for this. Hangman doesn't need the Dark Order. He needs to break away on his own. He's got to be the lone wolf as he tries to climb back into the title picture. You know, it's been a nice story and some nice comedy involving them now for the last several months, but it's time. It's time for him to move away from the Dark Order. We had Jon Moxley, Eddie Kingston, and Darby Allin against the debuting trio of Daniel Garcia and 2.0, the former Ever-Rise from NXT. And the former 3.0 from the independent scene before that. They were released from WWE back on June 25th. You know, Ever-Rise was always a guilty pleasure of mine when I would see them on NXT. They weren't used very often. And when they were used, they were pretty much jobber fodder. A lot of the stuff they did were comedy skits and stuff. But they were a guilty pleasure of mine. I'm glad to see AEW giving them a chance. We had Garcia and Darby starting the match. They traded some reversals. Matt Lee, the former Matt Martell, the one who yells a lot. If you remember Ever-Rise on NXT, he's the loud one. He got a blind tag. He blasted Darby with a forearm. Darby made it to his corner, tagged in Eddie Kingston, who had a stare down with Lee. And Eddie no-sold a chop and then landed several of his own. He distracted the referee while Moxley worked over Lee in the corner. So then there's a spot where Matt Lee is outside the ring. And he turns and he sees Sting, who is at ringside. He came out with Darby Allin, and Matt Lee is starstruck. He stops in his tracks. He can't believe that the man himself is standing right in front of him. And he starts asking, are you the real Sting? And as he's saying that, I didn't even see Darby coming. Darby Allin, at about 85 miles an hour, hit one of his suicide dives through the ropes, just absolutely blasted Matt Lee. It looked great. Knocked him backwards into the barricade. He just wrecked this guy. Back in the ring, Moxley hit a paradigm shift to Garcia. Tagged out to Darby, who hit the coffin drop to win it for their team. I thought this was fun. This was a fun match, I thought. And I hope that 2.0, at least maybe it earned them some more work. Then we had the Elite. They were in the back acting all wacky, which they do every week. Doc Gallows was wearing a Ric Flair robe. Kenny Omega was wooing a lot on this show. So they were dropping little hints. They were trolling probably more than anything else. Of course, Ric Flair no longer employed by WWE. But he was wearing a Ric Flair robe, and Gallows accepted the Dark Order's challenge next week to a match on Dynamite for their Impact tag team titles. So even though they're not going to get an AEW tag team match against the Bucks for the titles, they are going to challenge the Good Brothers for the Impact belts next week. Omega was wearing a Cookie Monster t-shirt for some reason. The Young Bucks said there's nobody left to challenge them. They're the best in the world. Omega said Adam Page blew it last week, and now he's got no friends. And he says, with nobody left to challenge, there was a basketball net there. If you remember the basketball tie-in on last week's show, there was the basketball hoop. And they cut the net, which is something that you do, I guess, when somebody retires. I guess that signifies their retirement, even though they're not retired. I don't know. Just the typical Elite goofiness, which I know is a turnoff for some people. We had Christian Cage one-on-one against The Blade, the undefeated Christian Cage. going one-on-one against The Blade. Now people in the chat are pointing out that Cookie Monster, CM Punk. I guess that does make sense, right? Although Punk has said that the CM stands for many things, right? He didn't necessarily say that for sure it stood for Cookie Monster. He said it stood for Chick Magnet, a couple of other things, right? But I guess that makes sense. I didn't put that together, but there you go. Yeah, I guess that was a CM Punk wink and a nod, as if there was ever any doubt left that CM Punk is, in fact, going to be debuting in a few weeks for this company. I only hope that they're able to do the Chicago show at the United Center. I hope they can get that show in. The way things are going, I'm not even sure they'll be able to have a show at the United Center. Can you imagine CM Punk walking out of Daly's Place? What a fucking letdown that would be. We had Christian Cage against The Blade. Christian attacked before the bell. And the Blade tried to flee. Christian chased after him, was stopped by the Bunny. And Christian ignored that distraction. He sent the Blade into the barricade. Back in the ring, Christian climbed up to the top rope. Bunny grabbed his leg. Layla Hirsch, who was going to be challenging the Bunny later on in the show, she came out and chased the Bunny to the back. Christian went a little bit later on for the kill switch. Blade fought out, countered a tornado DDT into a power slam for a near fall. Blade hit a release suplex and then used the turnbuckle to distract the referee and grab the brass knucks, but then he walked right into a spear. And Christian hit the spear, he got the win, so Christian remains undefeated. And we'll talk about Christian here in a second. We weren't done with Christian here on this show. Tony Schiavone was in the ring for an interview with the AEW Women's World Champion, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, out there with Rebel. And Britt Baker will be in her hometown of Pittsburgh. They're back on the road in Pittsburgh, PA next week. Before she could really say anything, out came Red Velvet. Red Velvet Cake comes down to the ring and interrupts, and she says that she may have been enhancement talent before, but now she's just got a 22-4 record in AEW, and she has earned a shot at the Women's Championship. And Britt Baker said if Tony Khan approves, then they're going to have a match for the AEW Women's Championship on the AEW Rampage debut. Not this Friday, but next Friday on TNT in Pittsburgh. So Rebel tried to attack Velvet with the crutch. Red Velvet had it scouted, though, but then Britt Baker attacked and curb-stomped Red Velvet before driving the crutch into her throat. She's still out there playing heel, even though the people don't want to boo her. The people were cheering Britt Baker yet again, as they've been doing every single week. And next week, it's going to be even worse, because they're going to be in her hometown. And no matter how hard she might try to heel on this woman, it ain't going to work. So every week, it just feels like Britt Baker is a babyface, but she's still acting like a heel. So I don't know how much longer that's going to be able to go on for before they just might have to embrace her being a babyface. I wouldn't even necessarily change everything about the way that she behaves. Yeah, there's certain heel things she does that if you were going to be a babyface, I would want her to stop doing. Attacking from behind and stuff like that. She can still go out there and cut the kind of promos that she cuts. But at some point, you got to read the room. And if the people don't want to boo her, then you don't treat her like a heel. Next week, she's going to be the conquering hero. Dasha was backstage again with Andrade and Chavo. He told Andrade not to sweat the Lucha Bros, not wanting to work for them. He's got somebody else who can shine Andrade's shoes. And he brought in Fuego del Sol, who Andrade proceeded to annihilate. Chavo told the Lucha Bros, if you keep working for PAC, you will never be champions, ever. Tony Schiavone, who else? Tony Schiavone. Of course, Tony Schiavone was back in the ring yet again for an interview with Hangman Adam Page. He was trying to follow up on what Hangman told the Dark Order earlier in the night. And of course, Hangman was immediately interrupted by the Elite. And I wrote in my notes, can we get any interviews on this show uninterrupted? This is fucking ridiculous. Every single interview segment is an interruption. I know we see it on the other channel too, but it feels like it's more prevalent in this company. whether it's in the back, whether it's in the ring, especially in the ring. You can't get a word out before being interrupted. I used to joke about it with Sting, but now it happens with everybody. So out come the Elite. And Kenny Omega called Hangman a tryhard. Like all of these fans here in Jacksonville, he said, we don't want any losers in our group. And Hangman attacked. He ended up getting overwhelmed, though. It was a pure numbers game. He got beaten down. Good Brothers hit the Magic Killer. Out comes the Dark Order, but Evil Uno and Stu Grayson are holding them back. They're saying, no, Hangman did not want our help. We have to let him sink or swim on his own. We can't help him. It's not what he wanted. So they stop the rest of the Dark Order, and then they retreat to the back. Young Bucks hit 3 BTE triggers to Hangman. Frankie Kazarian is out, trying to even the odds, but they overwhelm him, and he gets tossed out to the floor. Omega whacked Hangman right in the head with the AEW title belt. So they're playing the long game here, which we kind of already knew. They're playing the long game with this storyline. You know, when this segment was over, I almost felt like, how can they not do this match at All Out? I mean, what more can be done to Hangman Page before, you know, at some point people just start to wonder, hey, is this the right guy? He's getting his ass kicked every week. He's losing. So they're telling a long-term story here. We know this because it will not be Hangman and Kenny Omega. It doesn't feel like it's going to be Hangman and Kenny Omega at All Out. We now know who the number one contender is for the AEW World Championship. It is Christian Cage. Now, they did not say that he's getting the match or getting the main event at All Out. It's possible he could challenge Kenny Omega on Rampage one of these weeks or in a big Dynamite main event one of these weeks. To me, that is not really a suitable main event. I think it would be a very good match, but I don't see that as being a suitable championship main event for All Out. It'll be kind of disappointing if that is the big main event on September 5th. So I'm kind of hoping they do it before then, but then if they do, and if it's not Hangman, I have no idea who you put in there against Kenny Omega. I mean, you're not going to rush into it being CM Punk or somebody like that. I mean, you either do the Christian match at All Out or you do the match with Hangman. Who else is there? Who else is there that would make sense? Frankie Kazarian is the one who ran out to try to help out Hangman. That would be even worse. Frankie Kazarian challenging for the AEW World Championship in the main event of All Out? No, thank you. That would definitely not be the answer. So, but as far as Hangman, I have no idea what they're doing with him. He's not challenging for the world title. The only thing I could think of is he's going to be taking some time off. I was of the impression that he's, you know, going to be having a kid, or his wife is going to be having a kid in November. I had somebody tell me, no, it's September. I could have sworn it was November, but I could be wrong. It could have something to do with that. I don't want to just sort of credit it to that because I don't know if that's the case. It kind of feels to me, though, like maybe he is going to be going away for a while because he's not challenging for the championship next month. And what the hell do you do with him? What do you do with Hangman Page? Dan Lambert of American Top Team. We had a vignette with him. He has not forgotten what Lance Archer did to him on Dynamite a few weeks ago when he gave him the blackout. He's going to be on Dynamite next week, and he says he is bringing backup. Whatever the hell that means. He didn't say who or what that was. We had Miro defending the TNT Championship against Lee Johnson, who was there with Dustin Rhodes in his corner. I thought these two had a damn fine match. I enjoyed this. I thought Johnson looked great. Miro has really found his groove in AEW. So they come back from break, and Miro had Johnson locked in a bear hug. Lee Johnson got out of it. He countered a pop-up into a DDT. Miro, though, popped up. Miro was a little wobbly on his feet, so Johnson laid in some more strikes. He drop-kicked Miro out to the floor. Johnson hit 2 straight topes, followed by a dive out over the top. Miro looked like he tried to catch him, but the momentum sent him backwards, and Miro, you know, very gently, but he fell and dropped Lee on the back of his head. Nothing that looked too awful, but he did drop him. Back in the ring, Johnson landed a diving crossbody. Miro kicked out. Miro went for a German suplex. Johnson flipped out, hit some kicks. He went back to the top rope, hit a frog splash for two. He tried to hoist up Miro, but Miro fought out of it and just absolutely destroyed him with a high kick. And then he screamed, "Game over." You know what that means. He locked on the game over submission for the ref stoppage, so Miro retains the TNT title. The finish obviously was never in doubt, but I thought this was a great showing for Lee Johnson. You know, the kid showed that he could hang. Miro is just perfect in this role. It is the polar opposite of what he was doing previously. Even though I know he's into the video game stuff, I just thought it was a terrible role for him to be in on television. This is the way that Miro should be portrayed on TV. He is the monster that people, I think, were hoping that he would be. He is the one who, you know, you want to try to become the TNT champion, you got to get through this guy. He's just mowing him down left and right. He's the gatekeeper of that championship. What does he call himself? God's gift or I forgot exactly the name that he uses. But he's firing on all cylinders right now. And I enjoyed this match a lot. Now, we learn that Taz, Excalibur, Chris Jericho, and Mark Henry are going to be the broadcast team next Friday for the debut of Rampage on TNT. Why the hell do we need four announcers for a one-hour show? Can somebody explain this to me? I'm hoping this is only just because it's the big premiere and they want to put a bunch of names there and get Jericho on the show in some way. I knew Mark Henry was going to be the analyst. I didn't know Excalibur was going to be doing the play-by-play, and then they throw Taz. You know, Excalibur and Taz are very entertaining when I actually watch Dark and listen to them on Dark. Four announcers, though. You could have Jericho shouting over all those guys. We need four announcers on a one-hour show. This better be a one-week thing. We don't need four announcers on a one-hour show. That's overkill. We got a Pabst Blue Ribbon advertisement with Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, and Hornswoggle. So I guess they did. Domino's pulled their advertising from Dynamite, at least temporarily. And Pabst, who went on Twitter and said, "Look, hey, Tony Khan, talk to us. We'll slide right in there if they pull their spots." Well, there it is. We had a Pabst Blue Ribbon ad. And I'll tell you what I love about this. What I think is just so great about this is the fact that it's Matt Cardona, right? The GCW champion who just beat Nick Gage, who got a national ad placement because of something that Nick Gage did on TV. Matt Cardona benefited from it. This only adds now to the heat between the two of them, to the rivalry between the two of them when they eventually come around to the return match. So I say, well played, Matt Cardona. I thought that was fucking brilliant. We had legit Layla Hirsch with Best Friends in her corner against the Bunny with the Hardy Family Office in hers. The winner will challenge Camille. Oh, how I miss Camille. For the NWA Women's Championship. They traded forearms before Hirsch hit a dive to the floor. Layla was targeting Bunny's arm. Bunny pulled her hair, though, to force a break. And Bunny hit a backstabber. She sent Layla to the floor before following up with a running drop kick that led into the commercial break. Now, later, Layla mistimed a moonsault press, and she got nothing but Matt on the way down. She totally missed the Bunny. Wasn't even close. And then she got caught with a Death Valley driver. I thought that was it, but Layla kicked out. Hirsch got the cross arm breaker, though, locked on. Bunny tried to fight out of it. It proved to be futile. It was a futile effort on her part. She tapped out, and legit Layla Hirsch will challenge Camille, who was shown in the crowd, challenge her for the NWA Women's Championship, I believe, on an NWA show. I mean, I don't know what Camille is doing on that NWA pay-per-view later this month. Maybe it happens there. But Layla invited her into the ring. And so Camille, with her title, comes into the ring, and all I could think of as I'm looking at that title, by the way, is the one person who called in that one time on the stream and was just losing his mind about the plastic belt. I wonder if he was watching tonight. I wonder how upset he must have been seeing that plastic-looking belt back on Dynamite. But Camille gets into the ring, and the size difference between them was comical. Layla Hirsch looked like a fucking child standing next to this woman. It looked like Camille was about to bend down to tie her shoes for her. So, yeah, sometimes you do the whole David versus Goliath thing. And I mean, Layla Hirsch is, you know, she's a very good wrestler and all. I don't know about this. I mean, watching the two of them standing next to each other like that, sometimes the size differential could actually lend itself to having a really good match, and sometimes it doesn't. I don't know what kind of match to expect between these two, but to see them standing face-to-face, side-by-side like that was, wow. That was comical. We had Jade Cargill and Smart Mark Sterling with a vignette. We haven't seen them on TV in weeks. And the Smart Mark said that they've been busy building Jade's brand. There's even been some interest from Hollywood. But now they're back, and she has a big return match on Elevation this Monday. And Jade ended by telling us that she's that bitch. It's good to see Jade Cargill back. Malakai Black. It's time for the main event. One-on-one, making his in-ring debut here in All Elite Wrestling, taking on Cody Rhodes. Black walked to the ring wearing a pretty cool-looking skull mask. I gotta say, I do miss his old WWE entrance and his old music. But this was cool. I like the mask. I mean, think about what kind of moment, though, right, that this must have been for him after the year that he's had. And all of the storyline, creative frustrations, and sitting at home for 7 months collecting dust. And then being brought back to television and putting all this effort into these vignettes. And literally debuting on television, re-debuting. And then being fired. It's been a roller coaster ride for this guy. It had to be frustrating. And here he is on TNT television, walking out in the main event, able to reinvent himself. Getting a new lease on life. A new chapter begins in his career. And he walks out in front of all those 2,500 people at Daly's Place. It had to be a good feeling for him. And in the main event, no less. So there was an ankle pick into a knee bar by Black. Cody escaped. He tried for a figure four. Black gouged his eyes. Malakai comes back with a half crab, but Cody gets the rope break. Cody went for a crossroads, but Black caught him right with a knee to the face. Broke that up. Cody went up to the top rope. Black then kind of briefly runs the ropes, or he runs... I say runs the ropes, but he kind of ran one of the ropes. He got some leverage on the middle rope and delivered a knee to Cody's head. And that knocked Cody backwards down through the timekeeper's table. It looked great. I thought that was a great spot. So Cody had to fight and struggle his way back to beat the 10 count. He just barely made it back into the ring in time. And Black caught him almost immediately with a black mass kick right to the jaw. And then he put his foot on Cody's chest and he pinned him 1, 2, 3. In less than 5 minutes, in his in-ring debut in the main event on Dynamite, Malakai Black picks up a win over one of the biggest names all of AEW. And this reminded me, this was not quite as dominant, but pretty much, it was pretty close. This reminded me of the match we saw almost a year ago to the day. It was late August last year, I believe, when Cody disappeared. What they did with Brody Lee. When Brody Lee beat Cody to become the TNT champion, that was even less. I think it was 3 minutes. That was complete destruction that nobody saw coming. And it really made Brody Lee into a player in AEW. And that's kind of what this felt like here with Malakai Black. And credit to Cody, even though he probably knows he's going away, but still, to at least give of himself to try to elevate a new star who could definitely use it, all this does is just give him that much more credibility, the fact that he was able to beat Cody as handily as he did here on this show. He made short work of Cody Rhodes. So as brief as this was, I enjoyed it. I thought this was exactly what it should have been. This was just nearly complete dominance by Malakai Black. One hell of a fucking way to make your in-ring debut. So Tony Schiavone's work was not done. Because now he's got to go back into the ring. He's going to go check on Cody. So Schiavone goes down to the ring to interview him, and Cody's laying on the mat, or sitting up on the mat. Eventually, he made his way up to his feet. He was hobbling around on one leg. His leg was hurt. Dr. Samson put a crutch in the ring for him to use. Cody didn't want to use it. Cody said, when I got into the wrestling business at 15, or when I got into wrestling at 15, all I wanted to do was win the title that they took from my daddy. He said, time flies. I've had so much fun. He said he fired them. They did not fire me. They being a reference to WWE. Then he linked up with Matt and Nick Jackson. People were laughing at them when they said that they were going to be a revolution. And he said, now this is destination viewing. We are competition. He goes, we're not the alternative. We are competition. And we set this table, and now maybe some new people can eat from it. For 3 years, I've carried the banner. And yeah, maybe there's been some infighting with the EVPs. But he said he loves those guys. To him, Daly's place is the AEW amphitheater. And there is no better place to do this or better time than now. He said, I thank you guys so much. I love you so incredibly much. You have made my life so special. And with that, he pulled off one of his boots to leave in the middle of the ring. He went to go pull off his other boot. That's a tradition that wrestlers do sometimes when they're ready to retire and hang it up and call it quits. They leave their boots in the middle of the ring. Just like Undertaker left his gear in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania 33, except he didn't fucking retire. He came back. He came back a whole bunch of times. Maybe he was just tired. He didn't feel like carrying his shit to the back with him, so he left it in the ring. We all mistook what he meant by that. So Cody went to go take off his other boot. Malachi Black came down. He grabbed that crutch that Cody left in the corner, propped up against the turnbuckles, and he hit Cody in the back with it. Did Malachi Black retire Cody Rhodes? That is the question that Jim Ross left us with at the end of the show as they went off the air. Is this the last that we will see of Cody Rhodes? I'm going to answer that question for you right now, and the answer is no. As I said, Cody is going away to film his season 2 of Go Big Show on TBS. And don't forget, he and his wife have a reality show, too, about their lives that they've been filming. So he's got a lot of outside projects he's working on. It could be a while. Maybe he's not going to come back for a rematch with Malachi Black at All Out. I thought he would lose here, be back in a month, and they would have a rematch. And now I'm not so sure. Maybe Cody really is going to take some time away. He may be gone for months. I don't know where his head is at as far as whatever outside projects he may be working on. But no, this was not the Cody Rhodes retirement. Whether it's a month, whether it's 3 months, he will be back. But it was done as a way to get Malachi Black over as a heel. And we'll see what kind of reactions he gets when they get back on the road. People might cheer him the way they cheer Britt Baker. But I thought the way they handled the Malachi Black debut tonight was pitch perfect. He is off to a great start. It's only one match, but he is off to a great start so far in AEW. So this was really good stuff. Now, next Wednesday, they're going to be live from Pittsburgh, back on the road. Chris Jericho takes on Wardlow with MJF at ringside, not as a referee, which, again, was a fuck-up on JR or someone's part. Chris Statlander goes one-on-one with Nyla Rose. The Good Brothers will take on Evil Uno and Stu Grayson for the Impact Tag Team Championship. And so that is the tentative lineup for Dynamite last week. What did you guys think of this show tonight? Let's go to the Twitter poll. We actually have two polls. We have one going live in the chat right now on YouTube. So if you would like to vote, thumbs up or down, on what you thought of tonight's show. Again, there is a poll. You'll see that blue box in the live chat. Let me check that one, actually. And that one right now is 89 up and 11 down. With about 750 votes in, we got over 1,200 in on Twitter. 81.7% thumbs up, 18.3% thumbs down. So another very positive score for Dynamite this week. Again, now, I didn't think it was a bad show. but it was definitely not up to snuff with what we have gotten from them over the last few weeks. And I do think that being in Daly's Place, especially a Daly's Place that was not filled, probably had a lot to do with that. But it just, you know, even crowd aside, outside of the closing angle, it just did not feel as if there was as much kind of insanity, I feel like, as we've had on the show over the last few weeks. But in any event, thank you, Abdul Rahman, in the chat. Your weekly reminder that Seinfeld is the best sitcom of all time. I'm going to read your messages here. We're going to hang out for a little bit. If you are tuned in late to the stream, I talked about the Ruby Riott news earlier and her likely joining AEW very soon. Talked about the Max Caster controversy with his rap from Dark the other night. Gave my thoughts on that. And I'll talk more about that on the Sunday podcast this weekend as well. So when we're done here, you can go back and check that out if you would like to do so. Let us bring up your Super Chats. See what you guys have to say about the show tonight. Starting with Anti-M Bishop. Condolences to Will Hobbs on the passing of his mother. Announced it earlier on Twitter. Dynamite was a good show tonight. All the best, Solomon. So yeah, I saw that. It was very sad that his mother passed away. It's not an easy thing to go through. Obviously, that's why he hasn't been on television the last few weeks. And our best thoughts to Will Hobbs. Scott Woodford, rest in peace, WWE. This was a great show. Ryan Spies, 2.0/Everrise are also doing a post-show YouTube thing that AEW promoted, so it looks like they're sticking around. See, that's the look in that super chat that Tony Khan made once he heard that rap and realized that his workload just increased. Tony Khan does not look very happy. Station Keo, thank you for the $2. Samoan Fan 101, did you see Ronda Rousey's comments about the fans? Yeah, I saw her dumb tweet. I'll talk more about that on the podcast this weekend. That gives you a little taste of what I thought. Oh, Jolly Burgos with the $10. Ronda is right. Wrestling fans are so close-minded and hateful. They'll turn their backs on people in a heartbeat, but pretend they cared the entire time just to fit their agenda. See Shayna and Nikki. No, I think that has more to do with the creative. And I think blaming the fans, who are not always innocent, blaming the fans is a fucking cop-out. WWE has demonstrated many times that they hate their fans. I don't know. I don't quite know what to make of it. I don't really see this in any other company. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. They fucking hate their fans. So it's very easy to blame the fans. But certainly the fans are not responsible for the shitty creative that we see on a lot of their shows. But by all means, please go ahead and blame the fans. Andrew Jorlog with the $20. Okay episode. Wonder how much they are holding back to not burn people out on surprises before All Out and the August 20th Rampage. Well, I mean, that's true. You can't really, you know, you can't really give away too much when you have a lot planned. You do have to hold back a little bit. Tonight felt like an episode where they were holding back a little bit. Pierre Alexander Demers with a $4 super chat. Super happy about Malakai's debut, but I gotta ask, who do you think gets the best spin kick in wrestling? To me, it is Miyu Yamashita. I don't know who Miyu Yamashita is, so I'll just stick with Malakai Black. He's got a pretty wicked spin kick. Peter Note. Love how Cody gets his butt whooped and tries to run away from pro wrestling. Black should have beaten him with the boot. Drama King. Still love you, Cody. Yeah, he does sometimes get a little overdramatic with these losses. Food High. I love this company. Appointment Television. 561 Mexico. with the $10 super chat. Was live at Daly's Place for AEW Dynamite Homecoming. Fun show as always, and I will always show Solid Monster love. Have a great night. Good brother. Have a good... A cheers and a salute to 561 Mexico. Hope you're having a great night as well. Nayef Alsafar, thank you for the $9.99. Dan Richards, Vic Joseph said, ooh, at least 52 times last night. It's all he knows. I've already talked about this before. You guys know my thoughts on that. It's absurd. I mean, is he stepping on thumbtacks under the announce desk or something to keep himself awake during some of these shows? Because we just kind of randomly get the, feels like he's stepping on attack. Temjin Zephyr with the $5. Now that Malakai Black has dominated Cody, who do you think will be his next opponent? As always, Dustin, right? You beat up Cody, you can always beat up Dustin next. I think in terms of baby faces, I don't know if he's going to be next. Doesn't look like he's going to be next, but I think that Black and Darby is going to be a hell of a feud at some point. I look forward to that. I look forward to not just a match, but an actual program between Black and Darby. Ryan Spy, so Jurassic Express against Young Bucks for the tag belts at All Out then. Well, I mean, I guess by process of elimination, yeah. It looks like it, right? It's not going to be the Dark Order. It's obviously not going to be Proud and Powerful. They had a vignette. I forgot to mention that. They had a video package on the show tonight, which was very well done. It was Santana and Ortiz talking about their feud and their match last week with FTR. We heard from Dax Harwood. There was no Cash Wheeler. He was injured last week. They had a freeze frame of the exact moment that his arm, his skin, got caught on the top of the ring post or the hook that connected to the ring post that just opened him up. He was bleeding all over the place. It looked nasty. And it was a pretty serious cut, but I like that they're keeping this program alive. They said nothing about when they're going to have a rematch. It might not happen until All Out. I don't know the extent of Cash's injury and the gash and how long he might be out for. But obviously they're not just going to let this go, and he'll be back relatively soon. I would think you hold off on the rematch for All Out. You know, but things are still lined up for Santana and Ortiz to challenge the Bucks at Arthur Ashe for the championships late in September. They go to All Out against FTR. They get a win over FTR, and that should vault them. I don't know where they are in the rankings, but that should vault them to a tag team title match against Matt and Nick. Bret Hart. I used to like Cody, but he has go-away heat with me. I can't watch anything he does. He comes across as so narcissistic. I will not miss him. That's from Bret Hart, who is obviously no fan of Cody Rhodes, clearly. Let's go to Natural Born Thriller. Solid Monster, will you be live streaming AEW Dynamite, Rampage, or both shows to review on next week? I'm glad you asked. My plan right now is to, I'm going to stream Dynamite next Wednesday like I always do. And my plan right now, at least for the first 2 weeks of Rampage, is to live stream on Friday night. So when the show goes off the air at 11, you come on over here to the channel a few minutes later, and I'll be live on YouTube doing a full recap of the debut of Rampage and, of course, the August 20th show, which is likely going to be the debut of CM Punk. I will be going live on YouTube. I don't know if that will be a permanent thing every single Friday, but for at least those first few weeks, yes, I will be going live on Wednesday night, like I always do, and I will be going live on Friday night as well. And then you get the usual Sunday show. So you're going to be getting a lot of me. SummerSlam weekend is going to be pretty crazy. because I'll be live for Dynamite on Wednesday. I might go live on Thursday night for my SummerSlam predictions. Friday night would be a Rampage review, likely with the debut of Punk. That Saturday night is SummerSlam from Allegiant Stadium. And then Sunday night, the 22nd, is NXT TakeOver 36 with Samoa Joe's in-ring return against Karrion Kross and Walter defending the NXT UK Championship against Ilya Dragunov. So that whole five-day stretch is going to be fucking insane. So now would be a very good time for you, if you haven't already done so, to become a channel, if not a channel member, a subscriber to the channel. That way, when I go live, you should get the notification. Make sure that bell is on, by the way, so that way you are getting all of the notifications and not just some of them. Some people don't have the bell activated, and then they wonder why they don't get notifications. Dry chicken without flavor, Tony Schiavone must be hitting the gym before Dynamite. Tony just keeps going back and forth. Oz and Glorious with the $10. Months ago, I asked about how much longer we were going to have Britt Baker shoved down our throats till Adam Cole was buttered up enough to jump ship, and you said it wouldn't happen. Update. Love the show. Well, because we had conflicting reports about his contract status, right? Where we heard that, oh no, he's under contract until 2024. He signed an extension. Now we're hearing the opposite. He may still re-sign with WWE. I think he's an idiot if he does. But it looks a hell of a lot more likely now that he might test the water somewhere else. I hope he does. I think it would be the best thing for him. But he's got to make a decision about what's more important to him. Is it more important for him to play with new people and take his talent somewhere else and somewhere fresh? Or is it just about money? Because if it's just about money, then he can just stay where he is. That's the decision that now faces Adam Cole. Paul Heyman. Nice to see Matt and Jeff on AEW. They're 2.0. They're not the Hardy Boys. Indigo. What's going on, Indigo, with the $10? I'm not... Shrey in the chat, I'm not eating humble pie. I'm going based upon the information that was presented to me. If you present me with incorrect information, then I'm going to give you a different answer. Now that I know that Adam Cole's contract is coming up, I am hopeful that he will be taking his services elsewhere. What more can he do? What more can he do after 4 years in NXT? Where is there left for him to go? Raw or SmackDown? Do you know how many people, when I posted that tweet the other day saying that he has no future on Raw or SmackDown, all of the WWE stans who came, I don't know where, it's like they come, crawl out from under the rock that they live under to muddy up my timeline. They don't even follow me, and they're muddying up my timeline. What do you mean, man? You don't know what you're talking about. You're out of your mind. You're an idiot. These fucking idiots, they come from out of nowhere. What are you talking about? He was so successful. He'll be a big star on Raw or SmackDown. Do you not have any understanding about who runs the show on Raw and SmackDown as opposed to NXT? That is the point that I'm making. Triple H has used Adam Cole to his full potential. I will never say that Adam Cole was misused in WWE. He was, you know, misused on NXT. He was used exactly the way that you would hope to use him. He has been a main event player from the very first time he walked in. My issue is not with the way Triple H booked him on NXT. My issue is with his size and the way that he will likely be booked on Raw or SmackDown. What is so hard to understand about this? Why do people defend this? I don't understand. I mean, do they walk to the gas station and just stand there and inhale the fumes all day? Or is it just incidental when their parents drive up to the fucking gas station and roll down the window to give the credit card and they inhale a little bit of the fumes? Is it just those little bit of fumes when their parents drive them to the gas station? Or are they just walking there and they're just standing there all day? That's what I'm trying to wonder. How much inhalation is going on here? Because I don't know how else you would explain the idiocy of some of these people on Twitter and on social media. But holy shit, did I see a lot of it this week. Oh my God. I don't know where these people come from, but it is scary. But Indigo, much respect that he says, I had a bad day. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Said, I had to quit my job today. Terrible managers. Homecoming was a decent show. Miro looks great. And I'm happy that Ruby Soho and Malakai Black, another awesome stream. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you had to quit your job, but it sounds like your managers were a bunch of morons. So at least you don't have to be around them anymore. I hope you got something lined up. I know that's a scary thing. So I'm sorry you had a bad day. Indigo's a good guy. I don't like hearing it when Indigo has a bad day. He's always very positive when he messages me on Twitter. Turtlehead, I love the smell of gasoline too, but I also don't stand there for 6 hours inhaling it like these people do. That would be bad. It's like looking in the sun. You don't look directly into the sun. But I like the smell of gasoline. Sea Moonsault. I hate when WWE brings back old people like Oldberg. That's like if Macho Man came back in 99 to feud with Stone Cold. Who would want to see that? I would want to see that. Although he wasn't the same Macho Man by then. Macho Man against Stone Cold? Hey. Sign me up. The fucking Macho Man. Come on. Food Hive with the 10 bucks. Cody took himself out of the title picture, put MJF and Darby over, lost to Shaq and Jade, feuded with QT and a go-go for months, got squashed by Brody and Black. Can people please stop saying that Cody buries new talent? Yeah, are there people who are saying, I mean, I know people are tired of seeing Cody, but are there people saying that he buries new talent? That's new to me. I don't know how you can get that impression. I've never felt that way about Cody. I mean, there are times where, you know, he comes across as a little, character can be very arrogant on TV, very full of himself. Burying other people, though, I never got that sense. Oz and Glory has been watching History of Bullet Club and old BTE episodes. Cody is playing a totally different sport. For better or worse, thoughts on his evolution sans the Elite. He's come a long way since Stardust, I'll say that. He went out on the independent scene, he, you know, hitched his wagon to Bullet Club. Some people didn't like him for that. Oh, he had to go ahead and associate himself with an established group. You know what? He was smart. And it helped get him over a lot, I think a lot more than he would have gotten over on his own. So I think it was smart of him to do that. He has turned himself into a major player, which is exactly what he was not in WWE. More power to him. Meroa with the $5. Apparently the reason Hangman is out of All Out is that he is taking a paternity leave. Well, again, that's a rumor. That is not confirmed. I was of the impression that he was, you know, he and his wife were having a child in November. So we have no clarification on whether or not that's happening in September or in November. If it's September, then it makes sense. If it's November, it makes no sense. You don't need to take paternity leave in September if you're having a child in November. So until I see confirmation of that, I only take it at face value. Temjin Zephyr, $10. To Indigo, I resonate with your situation and it can be tough. From a fellow wrestling fan to another, keep your head up and go where you are celebrated and not tolerated. Those are sage words. Dry chicken without flavor. Remember on June 2nd, I sent a super chat. Do you see Ruby Soho, formerly Ruby Riot, drawing the Joker card during the Casino Battle Royal at All Out? I mean, you're assuming that there's going to be a female Battle Royal at All Out? I don't know that that's been confirmed. Did they have one last year? I don't remember if they did. Ryan Spies, Rampage doesn't have enough announcers. You know what? I think you're right. I think we need four more. Let's round up four more. Hey, I've done commentary before. Why don't you put me on there? Put me on Rampage. We'll get eight different people. There won't even be enough chairs. I'll stand in the background with a headset on. Jared M., what's going on, Jared? Thank you for the $35. Good to see Jared joining us. Coggies with the $20 Super Chat. Wow, thank you, Coggies. Great Dynamite. Hell yeah, with Pabst Blue Ribbon with the boys and Chelsea. That's right, Chelsea Green was in there. I forgot to mention her. Chelsea Green was in there as well. Solid Monster, the non-dairy ice cream market is booming. I hope you are staying cool, brother. Podcast was great this week. History segments are amazing. Well, I'm glad you enjoy them, and enjoy them while you can, because we only have about another month and a half, maybe, or so, before they go away. I have enjoyed, it's a lot of work, but I have enjoyed doing them, so you got another month plus of this week in history before it comes to an end. Joden in the chat. What's going on, Joden? I see you. Let's see. Who do we have next? We have No. We have Oz and Glorious. I'm getting ahead of myself. Shout out to the plastic belt guy who spent $6,000 on the Fiend belt. Layla Hirsch, as the little engine that could angle that they're going for, needs to end. Yeah, it's like what they're doing with Nikki Cross right now on Raw. I just think it's insufferable. It's definitely not. It might be for the little girls out there, but it ain't for me. She should not be in the main event. At least Layla Hirsch is not in the main event. She's not headlining Dynamite every fucking week. Maroa. Shivani did his best Joe Rogan impression when he went to interview Cody after the latter was knocked out cold. He did. That was when Joe Rogan got down with Conor McGregor. Tony Schiavone, I'm telling you, man, he's the hardest working man in that company. Food Hive. I remember that plastic belt call, Captain Planet. Maroa, your style of humor is pretty good. Pretty good. Food Hive, my favorite Seinfeld episode, The Smelly Car. What about you? Oh my god, I mean, there's so many to choose from. I mean, a lot of people would probably say the contest, so I kind of don't want to say that one. I don't know if I have any one favorite episode, honestly. I like them all. Except maybe the finale. I wasn't a big fan of the finale. But I like, especially the earlier seasons, like the first, five or six seasons or so, I think, is when the show was really at its best. Bubble Boy. Maybe Bubble Boy. Actually, you know what? If I had to pick one episode, you know which one I enjoyed the most and I thought was the most clever? The one where they get lost in the parking garage and Elaine's fish dies. That might be my favorite. And I love the fact that in the final scene, when Kramer goes to start the car and the engine doesn't start, and you see George in the back laughing and Jerry's laughing. That was legit. They lost their shit, and they just kept it in. Because I think it was supposed to start, and it didn't, but it was so perfect, they just left it in there. That might be my favorite episode. Dry Chicken, I would love to see a graphic background version of the Mortal Kombat 2 arcade ladder of MJF standing on the mountain like Shao Kahn on the stream. Hopefully Steve can work on that. Well, Steve Mello, he's watching. I have no idea what you're talking about, but maybe Steve does. I have the Mortal Kombat 2 1-Up Arcade, too. I have that down. So what are you? What ladder are you talking about? Are you talking about as you progress to the top of the mountain? Is that what you're talking about? Because I have that game. I don't even know what you're talking about. Tamara Davis, do you see Brie Bella showing up on AEW to support Daniel Bryan? I fucking hope not. Just reminded me now of Brie mode. I hope not. No, I don't see that. Juan Ocampo, at least we didn't get no Outlaw Mud Show crap tonight. I don't know what's worse right now, me seeing someone I like with someone else, or me working right now. Mario Tremaine Willingham. How about Lashley against Roman for Survivor Series? Well, if they insist on doing this Raw or, you know, Raw versus SmackDown crap again this year, then that's probably the match we're going to get. Remember last year we got Roman and Drew, which was an excellent match. Roman and Lashley would be heel against heel. I don't know that that works as well, but you're also assuming that he'll be the champion come November. I'm not convinced that Bobby Lashley is going to be the champion come November. EJ Slemp, I look at MJF, Hangman, Darby, and Jungle Boy as AEW's original four. Would you include anyone else? Who will be AEW champion first, excluding Hangman? I might put Sammy in there. I might put Sammy Guevara in there. As far as who will be champion first, you know, not counting Hangman in that group, so basically who would be champion second? It's got to be MJF or Darby. I'm going to say MJF. I'm going to go with him. King of Doug style, the long-term story of Hangman and Kenny can work, but Hangman has to get one on Kenny in the Elite at times. Like button. He watches Raw for us. That's right. That's right. I die for you people. A little bit on the inside. Each and every week. The least you could do is smash that like. Where are we anyway? I said... What did I say? 300 was the goal? Oh, we blasted past it. Okay. Alright, well, let's shoot for 400. How about that? We're close. We're closing it on 400 likes. Paul Heyman. WWE has come to terms on the release of the Sala Monster. We wish him the best in all of his future endeavors. Man, I throw a fucking party. That's music to my ears. Randy Bobandi, sorry this isn't an AEW question, but I was wondering, you've been doing this for longer than almost everyone, so I was wondering if WrestleTalk, Cultaholic, or What Culture has ever reached out for a collaboration. No. No, they have not. But I don't collaborate. I tried that once many years ago. It didn't work out. So, I work better alone. Not that I'm opposed to the occasional one-off collaboration with someone. Yeah, I've been on other shows before. But no. No, I've not heard from any of those folks. Although I've been around longer than all of them, but I haven't heard from any of them. Brian Pissera, enjoy Dynamite tonight. Dr. NXT Scorpio with the $8 super chat. That impression of idiots on Twitter had me laughing. Had internet trouble most of the day, so I couldn't watch AEW fully. Great review as always. Hope you have a good night. Terry's Odyssey, thank you for the $4.99 super chat drop. Daniel Anti. Gonna be honest, the show just wasn't really for me tonight. Jericho match was iffy in particular. Dr. NXT Scorpio, do you ever feel just burned out and tired of watching wrestling sometimes? Oh yeah. All the time. All the time. But when you have chosen to, you know, commit yourself to building your show and building your channel and you derive an income from what you do, you can't exactly just stop. So there's a lot to love about wrestling, but does it burn me out every week? I blame myself, though, because I burn myself out, especially the history stuff. That really burns me out every week. So one of the reasons why I'm going to enjoy putting that to bed for a while. Turtlehead, I'm looking forward to the future. There's a ton of awesome matches that we will hopefully get to see. Any match that you are hoping to see. Yeah, I mean, Bryan Danielson hopefully coming in, is one that really excites me, and you can put him in there against any of the top guys in AEW, whether it's Malakai Black, whether it's Kenny Omega, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin. And of course, with the working relationship with New Japan, I would love to see him in the ring with some of the top stars of New Japan. It's those possibilities that really excite me. Sure they excite him too. Natural Born Thriller. I enjoy the spy versus spy match on Dynamite between that's going to be Malakai and the man called Cody. Speaking of Daniel Bryan, there he is with the super chat. There is nothing fun about Monday Night Raw. actual words that he once uttered on television. That is not made up. He actually said that. They are self-aware of how shitty their show is. Bret Hart. Seinfeld was required viewing when I was studying writing in university. I will have in consideration your recommendations for Seinfeld episodes. Yeah, watch the Garage one. That might be my favorite. The Garage one, the Bubble Boy. Which was the one where George wears the Gore-Tex jacket? I don't remember the title of that episode. That was another one. Oh, the nipple. Right? The nipple where Elaine takes a picture for her Christmas cards and then realizes after the fact that her nipple is showing. That's a classic one. You gotta love Elaine's nipple. Who doesn't love some nipple? From Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I mean, come on. Abdul Rahman, who is your favorite Seinfeld character? Mine is George. Yeah, I would think most people would probably say George. I know people talk about Kramer. Yeah, it's gotta be George. George and Newman. I love Newman, too. Uncle Leo. Uncle Leo! Hello! Love that show. Dried chicken without flavor. If Ronda Rousey is blaming and bashing WWE fans for Bray Wyatt's release, then I will say the WWE creative team are fantastic at their jobs. Food Hive. Rick Grimes against Walter White as characters. I vote Rick. Can't vote against Walter White. He is the one who knocks. I've also been catching up on my Sopranos. Going through all the seasons. In preparation for The Many Saints of Newark. Just coming out in a couple of months. Natural Born Thriller. You might get the last word here. $5 super chat. Christian Cage ain't outworking Sala Monster. Keep up the great work with the streams and the podcast that you do. That's right. He ain't outworking me. Moroa just dropped $5. What about your favorite Curb Your Enthusiasm episode then? Mine is Palestinian Chicken. Palestinian Chicken is probably my second favorite Curb episode. My absolute favorite Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, though, is The Doll. That was comedy perfection. Especially the final scene, the closing scene of that episode. I mean, it just could not have been any more perfect. So The Doll and Palestinian Chicken are probably my two favorites. EJ Slemp, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is the Dave Grohl of TV. Two hits, Seinfeld and Veep. Well, don't forget The Old Adventures of New Christine. He says, and we can't forget about... Oh, there you go, The New Adventure. I should have read the rest of your super chat. He goes, can't forget about The New Adventures of Old... That's funny. That is funny. That's what I get for not reading the full super chat. Roka Will, 23. Imagine if an NHL or NBA team blamed the fans for them losing in a championship final game. How ridiculous it would sound. WWE is ungrateful. I've never seen a company or an organization that just hates its fans with such a passion and treats their fans like shit the way the WWE does. It's amazing. I mean, the Mets organization over the years has given me a lot to be depressed about. But you don't hear them blaming their fans. You know what I mean? It is a very strange phenomenon. Then you have a guy like... You have someone like Ronda Rousey, who's not the only one who does this, but they drink the Kool-Aid so much. They buy into this idea. It's like they're brainwashed. And then they just kind of parrot WWE. And it doesn't make them look very good. Jamin John is The Rundown from 2003. Underrated. I think it's the only good WWE Studios film and worth watching. Is that the one with The Rock? I don't think that was a WWE film. I don't think WWE films existed in 2003. So I think you're wrong on that. I enjoyed it, but I don't think it was a WWE film. Tamara in the chat says the Knicks clearly hate their fans the way they treat us. Yeah, James Dolan is a one of the shittiest owners in sports. He actually banned someone. He banned a fan from Madison Square Garden. He's such a prick. A coke-addled prick. Yeah, James Adams backed me up here. Rundown is not a WWE film. I didn't think it was. I want to say that See No Evil might have been the first WWE, or was it The Marine? But either way, that came a few years later, not in 2003. All right, so I think I'm all caught up on your super chats. I want to thank you guys for the love and the support. Dried chicken without flavor. How would you feel if WWE Studios decide to remake or reboot The Goonies? I hope they don't. The Goonies does not need to be remade or rebooted. You have a perfectly fine classic original. There is no need to fuck with that and to remake it. You should remake a shitty movie. If you have a shitty movie that has a great premise, then go ahead and remake that. Why would you remake something good that doesn't need to be remade? And Food Hive says 9 days. Going to take Tony Khan 9 days to edit all of these shows, all the work that this poor guy has on his plate now. Thank you for the $1.99 Food Hive. Yeah, Beowulf in the chat says the promos would be fire for the Cornette Cena main event. Yeah, you're right about that, actually. The promos would be far better than the match itself. Ultimate Elite says the Goonies will be rebooted. It's only a matter of time. The Goonies came out, though. What was it? 1980? Was it 85? It was somewhere around then. And it hasn't happened yet. So I'm hopeful that it won't. But you're probably right. They'll reboot it. It'll be all women in it or something. It'll have some kind of weird agenda to it. Sloth won't look the way he used to look because it'll offend the sloth population or some bullshit like that. Who the fuck knows? Every time they reboot one of these movies, it ends up being just complete garbage. They're remaking The Wonder Years. I did see that. That could be interesting. See, I never really liked... I watched it, but I never really liked The Wonder Years. The whole 70s thing. I don't give a shit about the 70s. I'm an 80s guy. So I was never really a big fan of it. Marcus, you might be right. You might be right about Sloth. EJ Slim says, make it a scaffold match. I don't think Jim Cornette wants another one of those. Oh, here's one of those new super chats. How do you like this one? Brother. That'll give you nightmares. Thank you, EJ. Thank you, brother. With $1.99. I told you I added some new super chats. You never know when they might pop up. I'm going to be back with you for episode 716 of the podcast this Sunday. Next Wednesday, live after Dynamite. And next Friday, live after the debut edition of Rampage. I'm going to be going live here on the channel on Wednesday night and Friday night next week. So I look forward to seeing you all there. We got another super chat on the way in here from Jamin John. I just searched on Wikipedia and IMDb. WWE Studios was founded in 2002. Their first two produced films were The Rundown and Walking Tall. Well, I mean, that surprises me. I did not know that those fell under WWE Films. So I will take your word for it, but that surprises me if that's the case. All right, on that note, be well, stay safe. Thank you for all the Super Chat love. Hit that like button on your way out, if you would be so kind as to do that. And I'm going to be back with you, like I said, next week. If you are a new channel member, let me just mention this real quick. If you are a Legends tier channel member, the $9.99 tier, you now have access to the first 10 episodes ever done of the Sala Monster Sounds Off from 2007. The first batch of 10. There's many more to come. The first batch of 10 are now up. And the very first episode of SE Scoops Live from St. Patrick's Day 2008. That was the post-Raw show that I hosted, co-hosted with Noah Mark on Blog Talk Radio. After Raw on Monday nights, we did 34 of them between 2008 and 2012. That was the night that John Cena and Randy Orton beat the entire Raw roster, 17 against 2. That show is available to both tiers on the in the membership community there. We have two tiers. I opened it up to both tiers. So the very first SE Scoops Live, which has not been heard anywhere since 2008, you now have access to it. 41 minutes. So if you are a channel member, be aware of that. If you would like to consider becoming a channel member, I sure would appreciate that. I sure would love to have you as part of our little community. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Have a great night, and I will see you back here for more Dynamite next Wednesday. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody.